This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Lords of the Zings, Cakes and Danny, episode 4, A New Hope. I'm guessing that Danny didn't have Culture Club posters on his wall.
I did not.
When he was in middle school, like
I did not.
Like his pal Flakes did. I was kind of weird musical taste in middle school, Danny. Big on Culture Club, and I was a big Duran Duran mark. I was big on like British Euro pop. It was kind of my thing.
Yeah, Duran Duran was silly at that point.
Just, this so good.
So around, I mean, we spun the Karma Chameleon record a bunch of times, right? Mm-hmm. That was we got down. I had questions for my parents at that point. They kind of deflected, didn't really answer them, and then they just put on Michael Jackson, right, which again would later lead to questions. But they didn't. We didn't ask those at the time when we're rocking a Thriller in the living room with my socks.
Very good. Now speaking of the '80s, we're gonna go back. Not a lot of sports on today's show. Just pull back the curtain to give you a radio insider. We will have Pete Haley on from NBC Sports Washington. He's coming up at 2 p.m. So we'll talk some Skins with him and more. But this is more like 80-20 non-sports to sports type of show, I would say. At least from the first hour.
Or it could be
forward.
92-8, like the Indiana Jones polls.
It could be that.
You never, it could be like that.
You never know. You never know how it's going to turn out. All right, so we're going to do a Back to the Future quiz for one Danny Huha. He fancies himself a Back to the Future mark. He loves that movie. I'm not sure where he lies franchise-wise, whether he's big on Back to the Future 2 and 3, but I know he loves the original.
Original, a Pantheon movie for me.
Yep.
Two, an incredible concept. An incredible concept, but maybe a couple swings and misses in execution, but what a great idea, right? The Almanac, Biff goes back in time. Biff goes from kind of bumbling bully to older, this like super sharp steel trap cerebral old guy, which is a little bit curious, but
right,
his intellect grows somehow. But the alternate timeline, very great idea, but maybe I miss a little bit. And I got a soft spot for Dr. Emmett Brown in the Old West, but I didn't love that. Because again, now Buford Tannen is like a superhuman gunslinger.
Right.
You know, they gave him like extra special abilities. But,
all right, now
but
on
overall,
the other,
great franchise.
On the other end of the spectrum, we have JT the Vic, our producer, who knows nothing about Back to the Future. I'm in the middle, more towards, you know, not as far on Danny's scale, but I'm way further away from JT the Vic. Like, I've seen the movie multiple times. I'm into it. I like it. If it's on, I'll sit down and watch, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes of it. I've got two examples of questions that I believe are too easy for Funny Danny. And we can, you know, you can answer them or we can let Vic try to answer them.
Let's let Vic go first.
Be some comic hilarity that would ensue. My first question is, Danny's guy, Doc Brown, stole the plutonium from blank terrorists. Can Vic fill in the blank? I know Danny can. That's just it's just too easy.
This was a big deal at the time. Remember that? It's like you know, who were the bad guys?
Certainly,
funny, right?
But we can test JT the Vic. JT the Vic, you can crack your mic. Doc Brown stole the plutonium from blank terrorists. Can you fill in the blank, JT the Vic? I'm sure you will, and I'm sure it will be incorrect.
Well, they found me. I don't know how, but they found me.
I think I might surprise you on this one. Is it the Sharks?
Stop it.
Is it the Sharks? How about the Jets?
It is not the
I want me to build them a bomb, so I gave them an empty casing with used pinball machine parts.
I'm not talking about 50s gangs from New York that would dance and then try to stab each other with switchblades, okay?
Yeah, so I got the wrong movie. Oh, my bad. I really have no idea, guys.
They found me. I don't know how, but they found me. Who do you think? The Libyans!
Yes.
Boom.
That's just such an easy one for Funny Danny.
All day. Layup. Fish in a barrel.
Doc Brown stole the plutonium from Libyan terrorists. Anybody who's seen the movie knows that. I know that Danny's going to know this, too. And from JT the Vic's first answer, impossible that he knows this. Again, this is too easy. This is not part of the quiz. That's upcoming.
This doesn't even count.
No, right. It doesn't count. This is just to kind of, just get your bearings. This actor was originally cast as Marty McFly. Due to Michael J. Fox's scheduling conflicts, a few weeks into filming, director Robert Zemeckis recast the lead role to Michael J. Fox. Can you name the original actor in the Marty McFly role?
Yeah, gosh.
I know that James.
By the way, this
Vic
is hard.
He cannot.
This is hard.
This is difficult for you, Danny?
Yeah. Now, I happen to know this,
okay,
but it's not easy. That's not a layup.
I think if you're a real, Back to the Future aficionado, it should be a layup. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm underselling my Back to the Future knowledge.
That's a hard question.
Possibly.
Dude.
I'm going to go with Kevin Bacon.
That's not a terrible guess.
That's not a terrible guess. JT, I will give you 0.25 points for that, for actually having a decent guess. It is
JT,
not Kevin Bacon.
He has a supporting role where he's awesome in the movie Pulp Fiction.
Oh, he's so good in that. He's so great.
Wait, John Travolta.
That's my wife.
Hold on. Wait, didn't you say he has a supporting... Wasn't it framed as he has a supporting role in Pulp Fiction?
Yeah. Yeah,
John Travolta, not a supporting role. He's one of the main stars.
Here's another thing. I actually haven't watched Pulp Fiction.
Oh, for the love of...
JT the Vic. You know what? Here, JT the Vic, here's what you should do. You should quit doing weekends immediately and apply to the Grant and Danny show so you can get on the wrong side of history of all the movies that Grant Paulson, Tommy DeLay, and most egregiously, Brendan Dahr are on.
Hey, I'm pro Indiana Jones here, all right? Jeez.
Okay, well, that is a feather in your cap going forward. All right, now we're on to the real quiz, Danny.
So Eric Stoltz is the name, by the way. And that's a hard question, Casey. That's a hard question.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, I'm not shocked to hear that JT the Vic has never heard of Eric Stoltz. I mean, he just called John Travolta a supporting actor in Pulp Fiction. I mean, come on. All right, question number one.
All right, here we go.
In the Back to the Future quiz for Funny Danny, what is the name of Marty McFly's band in the Battle of the Bands auditions?
We're the Pinheads. I'm afraid you're just too darn loud. You're just too darn loud.
Very good, Danny.
Really good, Marty. There we go.
Very good. One for one.
Got that one.
That was just so easy. All right, question number two. I think this is kind of difficult, but I could be wrong. I could be proven wrong here.
Okay,
name
here we go.
The mall where Marty and Doc Brown meet prior to Marty traveling back in time. What is the name of the mall, Funny Danny?
At the end, I believe it's Lone Pine Mall, but when he goes back in time, it's Twin Pines Mall, and he knocks down one of the pines with the DeLorean when he goes back in time, Huey Lewis in the News. Twin
that
Pines
is
Mall.
A big check mark. That is a correct answer for one Funny Danny. He is
there. We go.
Two for two, and he's basically mocking my questions thus far.
No.
If you got those first two, I know that you're going to get this one.
All right, here we
go. Now I've determined that this is too easy. It's too simple. This Lou's Cafe worker becomes mayor of Hill Valley in 1977. This Lou's Cafe worker becomes mayor of Hill Valley in 1977. Name him.
That's right. He's going to be mayor. Mayor, that'll be the day. You'll see, Mr. Cuevas. I'll clean up this town. Good. You can start by sweeping the floor. Mayor Goldie Wilson. I like the sound of that. All day.
Again, just Danny just hitting bolts to all parts of the field.
Mayor Goldie Wilson.
Danny's three for three so far, just
uh-huh.
steamrolling through these questions. All right, question number four. What is the name of Doc Brown's dog from 1955?
Come on, cakes.
From 1955.
Oh.
Oh, look. Look at this. Curveball for fucking Danny.
Because I'm sitting there getting ready just to knock Einstein out of the park. Einie, little buddy.
I mean, everybody knows Einstein. I can't ask you that.
1955, dog.
You're a learned man when it comes to all things Back to the Future, Danny. So, of course, I'm not going to ask you Einstein. I mean, JT the Vic might have known that. Well, probably not. Again, I'll repeat the question. What is the name of Doc Brown's dog from 1955?
All right. All right.
I'll give you time. You can take all the time you need.
All right.
Danny, look at the clock on your computer. What does it say?
Let me see. It's 1:12. I'm looking at it now. 1:12. I'm going to count the. Let me get the seconds open.
So much time. All we have is time.
51, 52. Okay.
We have all the time.
So, all right.
Much like in Back to the Future, they can just bend time and just do whatever with time.
In the end of Back to the Future 3, they named their kid Jules and Vern, I think. And that, I know I'm sort of stalling. I'm just sort of sharing information.
No, you work your way through it, however you have to.
They're explorers, and oh, man. All right.
Have I stumped Funny Danny? I think I might have.
No. It's in here. It's rattling around in here somewhere.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Let's think
about
this.
Can you find it, though, is the key.
Let's think about this. Hey, when was it mentioned? What scene? Okay, so when he finally, I suppose Jane Wyman is the first lady. Ronald Reagan, the actor, when he follows him around. Good night, future boy. Doc, the blow on your head. I know what happened. You were hanging a clock. You fell down and hit your head on the toilet. When you came to us, when you came up with the flux capacitor, which is what makes time travel possible. It opens it up. Bolt of lightning. It's that whole scene where we finally meet him. Where is the dog's name mentioned?
To be honest, I don't know when it's mentioned. I gleaned this nugget strictly from the internet. This is internet driven. I don't remember this. You clearly don't either.
Copernicus is the name of the dog.
It is Copernicus. You found it, Danny. It was rattling around up there, and you found it. Good job.
I don't know how the hell I know that. I don't know when they say the name of the dog, but that was important. He named him after yes, got it.
Very well done,
Copernicus.
That was very well done, Danny. You figured it out. All right, question number 5.
Yep.
Crispin Glover, aka George McFly.
I'm George.
Was
George
murdered. McFly. He was murdered by a homicidal maniac in this 80s horror franchise. I just need you to name the franchise.
Oh. So you're not talking about when he's murdered in Back to the Future.
No, I am not. I'm sorry.
This is the gun that killed two McFlys. That one?
Doesn't have to do with his murder in the Back to the Future world.
So what else was he in? It's got to be.
And here's a hint. This was pre-Back to the Future.
I think he was in a Friday the 13th movie. So I'm going to say, so you're looking for the villain. I'll say Freddy Krueger, but I'm not confident in that.
I'm going to give you credit because you got the franchise correct. Crispin Glover was killed in Friday the 13th, the final chapter, which came out in 1984.
I said the wrong name. Sorry, Jason. Jason Voorhees. I said Friday the 13th, and that's Nightmare on Elm Street. I just conflated my villains. I'm sorry.
And ironically enough, that was not the final chapter of the Friday the 13th
series.
There'd
be so many more.
I want to say there were 7 or 8 more movies that just printed money for that franchise after the 4th installment, which also featured Corey Feldman, in case you didn't know that, Danny.
So doesn't Feldman shave his head bald, and that scares Jason for a second?
Yes.
Right?
look at you with your Friday the 13th knowledge.
Yeah. But I definitely just said Freddy Krueger when I'm talking about Friday the 13th. So that's embarrassing.
It's all good. All right, so Danny, you went 5 for 5. Now I have 2 extra credit questions.
Let's do it.
You just nailed all 5 of the originals. All right, here are your bonus questions. In an early version of the script for Back to the Future, the time travel device was not a DeLorean. It was a blank.
I don't know the answer to that. I do not know. I'm going to guess. This is a guess. I do not know the answer to this. I'm going to guess it was a bicycle.
It's not a bad guess. It's incorrect.
I thought like a BMX racer or something, you know, which was big at the time.
It was a refrigerator.
Wow. I didn't know that.
But some of the producers, like the producers and directors, didn't want to use a refrigerator.
Because it would be dumb.
Well, it would be dumb. And they didn't want, because Marty would climb into the refrigerator to be transported back in time. And they didn't want kids like climbing into refrigerators or freezers as like, you know, like, and they could wind up dead. So they said, well, that's first of all, stupid and dangerous. So
and then the internet DeLorean. Was invented, and people would do it 35 years later and call it planking. Really fun.
They certainly would. And your second bonus question. Now, this is going into Back to the Future 2. Old Biff bets young Biff $1 million that this team will beat its West Coast rival 19-17.
Did you hear an old man? He said the game's over.
I need Danny to name both of these teams.
I've got this right. Believe I've got this right.
Yeah.
I think it's Notre Dame trails USC 17-16. And then they win 19-17 on last second field goal. Or is it UCLA?
Ooh, Danny, you're wrong on both. You're wrong on both counts.
Both?
You got
no.
You semi saved it toward the end there with UCLA. It was UCLA beating Washington. Notre Dame not involved, not in the mix.
Really?
UCLA beats Washington, and I believe it was factually correct. It syncs up with the actual
that
date
it happened
in 1955. So
I mean, I remember they're in his. Nobody could start this car but me, and I remember they're sitting right. there. Did you hear him? Well, man, he said the game's over. And he, like, turns it up, right. and he can't believe it. Never let this book out of your sight. One day, either an old man or a kid is going to come looking for it. I remember the whole thing.
By the way,
blank on those teams? Damn.
How great would it be? To have the sports all
Oh, my
back?
God.
I mean, all you do is you just pick winners. You never miss, and you're the world's richest man.
Yeah, we've
and
already
you
passed
take
the
those
time,
riches,
by the way.
And you know, you give them the social causes and you spread the wealth, but you're bulletproof. You win every bet, Danny. It's the greatest.
Where are my self-tying sneakers? Where's the jacket that dries itself with instant heat?
Yes.
Where's my hoverboard? Hoverboards don't work over water. Where's that?
I don't know. I wish we had all these things. So
we're
Danny,
just adding G's to phones. I want that stuff.
Yeah, of course. So, Danny, well done again.
Thank you.
Just an awesome performance. Five
Love
for five.
My bonus questions.
Yeah, the bonus questions. You like those?
More, I got pummeled on those.
More Back to the Future knowledge for you to fit into your noggin.
Bam.
I didn't think you were going to pull Copernicus, but you got it.
That was hard. I don't know where that was rattling around in my dumb brain. I don't know how I knew that.
And
I think if you asked me in 20 minutes, I wouldn't remember it.
Is the dog's name ever mentioned in the movie? It has to be, like, once, right?
Or I think it is.
Like, do they show, like, a picture of his doghouse and it has a Copernicus sign hanging over the door?
There's got to be something. Maybe it's just in reading for trivia or, like, doing bits. I maybe read that at some point. But I know Einstein is obviously his 1985 dog.
Right.
And then, you know, there's always everything they do that is named are for legends of science or science fiction.
I did like watching your bravado over Zoom when I started that question because I know you were thinking that I was going to be like, oh,
Einstein.
And
a couple finger points.
Come on, guy. You think I'm going to give you that super low hanging fruit? I know you know Einstein.
It's cold. Cold. It's so perfect.
All right. Well, job
I bet
well
you my
done,
co-host
Danny.
Hates that movie, too.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, don't bring that up for on a Friday for Movie Club. God forbid. Pete Haley's going to join us coming up at 2 p.m. We'll talk some Redskins with him. And I believe in the 2 o'clock hour as well, I think Danny's got an 80s and 90s TV quiz devised for his pal Flake. So lots still to get to. It's Lords of the Zings, Cakes and Danny, Episode 4, A New Hope.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back to Lords of the Zings, Cakes and Danny, episode 4, A New Hope. This might not be the perfect song to play, like, on a lazy Sunday afternoon. The Queensryche might just be lulling me to sleep. Now, that's a very good song, don't get me wrong. But, man, those that guitar playing and that whispery singing, it's kind of
melodious.
It's kind of, like, transporting me away to, like, wanting to take a nap, Danny.
I don't know what the words are. I don't have the right terminology. You know, like when I speak about movies or something like that, I'm like, you know, the angle, the way it was shot. Like, I don't know what all the terms are called. Like,
right.
Like BDK is always like lens flare or like this framing thing or whatever. I don't know any of that
must
stuff.
You have to go see it at the Udvar Hazy Theater for the
Otherwise,
proper
did you
experience.
Even see it, bro. So whatever, there's a skill that I think really good singers have. Like, I don't think it's easy, obviously, because only a few people can sing on this planet. It's like one out of every 10 people can sing whatever it is, right? But when you could sing loud and do, like, vibrato or, like, make your voice go, like, you know, like, do whatever, like, at a high level, that's easier than singing well quietly. To have your voice have, like, richness and texture without screaming, I think is, like, the mark of a really good singer.
Right.
Does that make sense what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, sure.
I think that's hard. Right?
Absolutely. The thing that I now this might be me being just a simpleton and the fact that I could never ever do it. This to me means you're touched by God. If you can if you can sing and play guitar at the same time. Like that blows my mind.
It's underrated how hard it is.
It just blows my mind.
No one talks about it.
Like I have bad small motor coordination, like with my fingers. I can't even play like a chord on a guitar. It's just something I could never do. I've tried it. Big clunky fingers. Not big, just awkward. I just can't move the fingers around with the speed that I need. I can't even play Guitar Hero, let alone play a real guitar with any sort of skill. So like our friend Mark Roberts from OAR, local band from Rockville. They've hit it big. They've been touring for many, many years. Like during the pandemic, he'll just grab his guitar, fire up his computer, get on a live stream, and just play tunes, play requests, sing and strum. To me, that just means like you're just super gifted. Like I'm jealous of that talent. If you can not only sing, but compose music and play it and sing it at the same time, sorry. To me, you're Da Vinci. You're just a Renaissance man.
I can't do anything musical at all.
Yeah.
And I would say I have like documented fairly decent motor coordination, right? Like I'm perfectly adequate when it comes to like throwing and catching or doing like, you know, coordinated things. I can't make a single piece of music come out of anything.
No.
And at all. It's not even like close. They were convinced, I say they, like this the secret cabal. But adults in my educational career, Casey, were convinced he's musical. And the reason is, like, you know, before the pair dropped, I could, you know, sing okay, I suppose. And I can't at all now. And also because I was a mimic. Because I was impersonating my teachers and all sorts of stuff, even as like a 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old. So they were like, he has an ear. He has the ear, whatever that means, for music. So we're going to put instruments in his hand, and they just browbeat my parents. Like, we're going to find something that he can do musically. So here's do piano, do a cello, do a flute. I got so, as Fred Smoot would say, frustrated by the entire process.
Yes.
Because the way they teach the dumb stuff, it's like math. It's like this
it's
sheet of music, this thing equals this thing. So they're going, okay, that's a C, so I got to go down here. Now I'll look back up. That's an A, so none of it made any sense to me. It all stunk. I couldn't do it. So many frustrated tears and miserable times. I can't make any music, and I wish I could.
Well, here's what I'm insanely jealous of. And my daughter can do this, and she can hear, like, she can hear a Taylor Swift song on the radio and just casually stroll over to the piano and just replicate it.
Come on, seriously?
No music. Now, she's not the only. There are a lot of people that can do it. It's just I'm not one of them. I know you're not one of them. You know, any song. Like, she can hear a pop punk tune that we'll listen to, and she'll go replicate it on the piano.
That's insane.
Yeah. It drives me crazy. I took lessons as a kid basically at the point of a bayonet, and I hated every one of them.
I never had
any shred of talent when it came to a musical instrument.
None.
Hated it with a passion. And now I look at my piano and I'm like, I wish I could play one song on it, but I can't because I'm just a big stupid and I can't hear it and then replicate it on the piano. I suck. That's basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you could put a piece of paper under that piano and now that piano's a paperweight for you. Like, you have zippy chance. It's just an object in your house.
Right. It's just a thing. It's just a thing with a bunch of keys and wires and wood.
I'm like Will Hunting without the genius intellect, where he's like, Chopin could say, you see Mozart, I see four pedals and a box of wood.
Yeah. I got none of that. I'm with you.
No chance. Got none of it. No chance at all. My brother-in-law is a musician, like long-time musician. He's been in a number of bands, with albums and stuff, and like they're like legit good. And I'm always amazed by it. Like he sings background vocals, he plays the guitar exceptionally well, and it's just incredible to me. Like, I'm so in awe of it. And what's weird is he looks at my dumb face and my willingness to walk on stage and like talk about myself.
Right.
And like, and musicians are like, dude, I could never do that. And I'm like, all you need is to be shameless. I can't do what you do.
Right,
you're exactly the guys that are impressive.
Yeah.
Me, and fill the hole in my soul is not impressive.
No. Like, I mean, how can you just get together in a room with two or three other guys and just create a song out of nothing? Like, they come
this has
in,
never
they,
existed.
They might come in with like, I have a few riffs on my iPhone.
Got a few chords.
I have a few cocktail napkins where I scribble down a few song ideas or a few lyrics. And
so
then,
what about the chord of G? Should we throw it in G? No, let's do it in A.
And the next thing you know, there's a song.
And 2 hours later, they have a hit. I just don't.
Can you imagine that?
I don't understand. No. Oh,
that's all the like all those stories too of like, you know, I'm a sucker for the behind the scenes stuff of masterful creation.
Sure.
You know, those sorts of things where you like this just jumped to mind while you were talking, where Freddie Mercury's bored in the sound booth while they're doing some kind of editing thing in the background.
Right.
Right. On Under Pressure. Right. One of the great tracks of all time. And so he's just going ba da ba ba la da na da da, like whatever, except like in a good singing voice.
Right.
And they stop and go, Freddie, could you do that on a track? Next thing you know, it's like the iconic, his like scat kind of riff thing that he does. That's amazing. Just that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Just accidentally in there.
It's unreal. Now, you brought up Freddie Mercury and Queen. Have you watched the doc on Netflix that came out recently featuring Adam Lambert with Queen? It's very good.
I'm into that sort of stuff, too.
It's worth your time. I mean, Adam Lambert, I mean,
silly boys.
Talk about a guy with an amazing voice that it was. Look, you're never going to be Freddie Mercury, but to be even close to Freddie Mercury and to have the talent he has and the similar enough voice to be able to pull off the Queen catalog.
Yeah, come on.
It's amazing. And the guys from Queen, they were just like, I guess we're just going to get day jobs or two. And then all of a sudden, Adam Lambert falls into their lap.
Like, I could sing. Two nuggets. Nikola Jokic, Denver Nuggets here.
Yes.
Possibly Jamal Murray's. Nugget one, I think American Idol is stupid. I think all of those shows are
I'm generally with you. Yes.
Pull the ripcord. I'm out on them. I have friends that dig it, though, and that's fine. Because ultimately it rewards talent, which I like. I've never watched an episode of it. Or never watched a full episode of it. I've walked away and just said, this is stupid. But Adam Lambert drew some affinity from this guy. Because there's a version of him singing Mad World, the Silly Tears for Fear song, right? That is just haunting and excellent. So I went, oh, Adam Lambert. That guy's got talent. And then that's the as much as I would dig into it. Do you have a file also? And here's your Jamal Murray.
Okay, yes.
Because Steve Perry apparently was impossible to work with in Journey. So like they went their separate ways. Mm-hmm. Journey song, shout out.
Well, I like that pun, Danny.
Awkward. Any awkward-ass video at a construction site. Yeah.
And it's within the band framework. I'm all in.
By the way, in that video, Steve Perry's so committed, and he's like doing sharks in the jets, like backing up with his hair and so much jean jacket. Right. It's a tough video. Anyway, so they found this dude off of YouTube. It's like the movie Rockstar.
Yeah, he's like a Filipino dude who sounds just like Steve Perry.
I mean, he sounds just like him.
Yeah.
He sounds just like him.
It's unbelievable.
And that doc's unbelievable.
Yeah, and he's probably, I think he's like 5'3". And yeah. He just rips when he goes and just rips out the Journey hits.
Because the way they make you sing when you're in Journey, it's like that in AC/DC. They're pretty much like, all right, here's your check, and here is the vocal cord surgery you're going to need in 10 right. years. It's just hard to sing that way.
Yeah.
And that he is a Filipino Steve Perry. It's unbelievable.
Props to him. Did they find him like on, was it just like a YouTube video?
Yes.
Somebody's
yes.
just like, hey, this guy sounds just it's like the Steve story. Perry.
And like the guy from Journey calls him, it's like, it's like Dominic West going, oh, is that you? You want a gig then? And like Mark Wahlberg's like, I'll fly out there. Okay. But I want to make sure this is a real deal, And like, it's him and he auditions and he nails it.
Rockstar.
And he nails it.
I had a soft spot in the ticker for Rockstar. I kind of like it because it's about a hair metal band.
Yes.
It's based on, I don't know if Funny Danny knows this, probably does since he's already referenced the movie. Rockstar is based on the story of the guy who sounds just like Rob Halford to replace Rob Halford in Judas Priest when he left the band.
So I didn't actually have that nugget.
Now you have yourself.
Now I got it.
You have yourself a Jamal Murray.
I just got it.
Gave a nugget right back to you.
I'll take that.
That's what that movie was based off of.
Now, how close was the story in terms of like the guy leaving the band and how awkward it was? It's bed, 11 o'clock every night.
I think it was pretty accurate because, I think Rob Halford he wanted to try something different than Judas Priest for a while. And Judas Priest were like, well, we still kind of want to do the Judas Priest thing and tour around the world to make a bunch of money. So they found a guy who was in basically a Judas Priest tribute band.
Cover band.
That was grinding on the circuit like in the Midwest.
Amazing.
And they just plucked him from obscurity and said, you're now the new lead singer for Judas Priest. And I think he recorded at least two albums with them. And now, of course, bands do what they do. They're like, well, we were more popular with the original singer, so they booted him and now Rob Halford back in the fold. Just in case
I didn't know any of that. So the replacement guy got the Das Boot?
Oh, he got the Das Boot, correct.
That
I'm trying
tough.
To pull his name. I'm trying to pull his name without looking it up online. Oh, here's his name. How you like this, Danny? Tim Ripper Owens. And, of course, Ripper is one of the songs in the Judas Priest catalog. In case you didn't know that.
I did not. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, Cakesy.
Here's another nugget. I'm sure you know this from listening to the Junks on and off over the years.
Uh-huh.
Jason Bishop hates Judas Priest with a passion.
Factual.
Anytime we play them on the show, it's a visceral reaction that he has to one
of the great
metal bands of all time. Like there wouldn't be, I know that heavy metal isn't popular in 2020, but there wouldn't have been any of the heavy metal bands around in the late 90s, early 2000s, if it weren't for Judas Priest and Iron Maiden. I mean, you got to give them their proper respect, as JT the Vic is doing right now.
Yeah, again, it's when you put a flag in the ground, right? When you roll and you're like, Plymouth Rock, this is us. We're here.
Right.
You deserve credit. Whether I'm into the genre or not, or the song or not. You know what I mean? Like for example, you wouldn't bust out and go, let me play a Slick Rick record right now.
Right.
You wouldn't be that excited to do it. But you go, you pretty much popularized it. You invented it. You know what I mean? Like,
don't push
us on. Like, it's you deserve all the credit. So when you put a flag in the ground and go, this didn't exist before us. We're the lead goose here. We're blazing trails. We're going Lewis and Clark to Oregon.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
If you're a pioneer in the biz, I agree with you 1,000%. Like, if you like any sort of rock, hard rock, or metal music in the year 2020, and you've never listened to, like, a Black Sabbath record or an Iron Maiden record or early Metallica, then what are you doing? The only reason you're able to listen to that music is because of what those guys did to usher in, basically a new form of music that didn't even exist before. Ah, look at JT the Vic is just digging deep in the vault.
Is this song on the Days of Confused soundtrack, I think? Does that sound right to you?
Sounds right? I I'm not 100% on it.
I feel like it is. I feel like it is. I don't know why I was. Oh, you know why I was thinking about Days of Confused recently? I'm such an ADD scatterbrain. I apologize.
It's all good.
So did you see that Ohio State, excuse me, the Ohio State University.
Yes.
Professional, quote unquote, amateur college football program.
Yes.
Was asking guys to like sign a waiver where it's like, it's not our bad if you get COVID.
Right. I did see that. Yes.
And it reminded me of the pledge that they were trying to get Randall Pink Floyd to sign. The I won't do pot.
Oh yeah, it's been a while since I've seen that flick, but it's starting to come back to me a little bit.
I'm gonna go get Aerosmith tickets with my loser friends. I may play ball, but I will never sign that. He like throws the pledge in the coach's face. I'm
very
like,
good.
I remember at the time I'm thinking like, how cool is that move? But then I'm also now like growing up a little bit. I'm like, oh my god, sign the pledge, you horse's ass.
Right.
What are you doing? Please play football. What's the matter with you?
Right. Do whatever you have to do to get on the field.
Yeah, because his boys are telling him kind of throughout where it's like, you would just let, and like it didn't ring true at the time.
Yeah.
But like now I'm going, like the point that one of his boys made is like, you're not just letting me down. You're letting down me and Donnie and like all the other kind of guys. You're like, yeah, he's really good. You're the quarterback.
I want to revisit because I don't think I stressed it enough because you haven't seen it. And I'm imploring you never to watch it. Okay? I can't stress this
it's
point
like,
enough.
Smell this, don't smell this sock.
I can't stress this point enough, Danny. Even as bored as you may get, as much free time as you may have on your hands, don't scroll through Netflix and fall into the trap of, well, maybe I'll watch this Netflix original starring Will Ferrell and
He's
Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
Eurovision is the worst thing I've seen on Netflix.
Love it.
In a decade. And I'm bringing this up again. I'm just circling back to Brendan Dar, who I like, who I have done many DFS sweats with, fantasy leagues with, but I vehemently have to disagree with him on the merits of Eurovision on Netflix. It's terrible. It's a zero cake batter out of five scale.
Wow.
It's a zero. There's one or two yucks in a 2-plus-hour-long movie. It's terrible. You should never watch it. It's, how shall I describe it? It's a way, way worse Pitch Perfect. Think about that.
Where are you at on Pitch Perfect, by the way? Because I look guilty pleasure for your pal.
Pitch Perfect's pretty good. I can watch me some Pitch Perfect, Danny, and enjoy it. But think of, like, the worst version of Pitch Perfect that you could think of with no laughs and no redeeming qualities whatsoever.
Mm.
That's what that movie is. And I want
Eurovision.
My 2 hours of my life back.
I can't believe you watched it. What prompted you?
I am not blaming my lovely bride.
But
she brought it up because here's the dynamic is sure. That 90% of what we watch is cakes driven. It just is.
Yes.
Like, I'll either pick
yeah.
like I'm in on Dexter. I'm in way late on Dexter.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something that Amy would ever, you know, choose to watch. Now she watches it. I think she kind of enjoys it, but most of what we watch is old flakesy driven. There's a lot of World Poker Tour going on. There's a lot of World Series of
so
poker.
Much sport.
A lot of sports. So out of nowhere, a couple of days ago, she's like, let's just try the Will Ferrell thing. I was like, sure, let's do it. Let's rock. And about an hour and 20 minutes in, we looked at each other like, how much more is left? There can only be 10 minutes of this movie left, right? 31 minutes left.
Oh,
I couldn't believe how bad it was. And again, not criticizing her,
but a little bit.
Not really. Sometimes you pick a stinker. It just happens. Sometimes that happens.
The bus has to back up.
But again, I've picked some stinkers too, and I usually do most of the picking.
Well, but
you know who I'm blaming? Netflix and Will Ferrell.
Well, there you go.
That's who I'm blaming. Because
well, that happens.
Will Ferrell, he probably got a call from his agent, and his agent said, hey, Will, Netflix is offering you a ton of dough to do whatever you want. Basically, you know, like a pet project. Now, I know nothing about the backstory of this. I know nothing about it. But I'm assuming Netflix is on the other end of the phone saying, hey, Will, you want $8 million just to make a movie? $8 million on top of whatever the production costs are. Sure, here you go. And this is what he came up with. And it's terrible. And I never want to see it ever again. And Danny, you should never, ever watch it. That's what I'm trying to stress to you. And the fact that your producer, Brendan Dar, was lauding it on Twitter makes me question everything. Mm. Everything.
So, but you've touched on the dynamic, Flakesy, that is very real. So, for example, the show you just mentioned, I've never actually watched Dexter. I know I would like it. I want to watch it.
Right.
But it's one of those things where the wife has made it very clear we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough to do a big series on your own.
Yes, that is tough.
As a married guy with kids, because you have a limited window. So we try to find things that we can both watch. So I have a couple holes. You know, we agreed on a million things, everything from The Wire to Breaking Bad to you know, Game of Thrones to things that are awesome that I've kind of, you know, forced on her that she's gone along with. But basically a show about a serial killer, she's just out. I mean, she's Kramer when he's not wearing tighty-whities. I mean, she's just out and loving every minute of it, no interest in it. So there are a couple holes in my game like that where I just haven't had had the wherewithal, or whatever the right word is, to like buckle down and get through the entire series. But there's a number of those, and it's like I always get a lot of heat for those. But it's like, dude, it's a marriage. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a little bit of give and take, and I give way too much in this category where it's like, sorry about 160 Nats games per year, 75 Wizards games per year, 75 Caps games per year, and every NFL, Sunday I'm locked in the basement by myself.
Right.
And also Thursdays and Mondays.
Right.
So, you know, like there's got to be some return. You know,
where there's common ground. I completely understand that. I mean,
if she wants to watch The Real Housewives of name that municipality, whatever.
Right, right. At some point you have to do that. Now, like, I think one of my viewing habits was that I know that my wife wouldn't be in on was True Detective. Like, she's just never in on, like, for the most part, serial killers she's going to check out. Now, Dexter's a little bit different because he's like a serial killer, like, with a code. He only kills bad guys, makes it a little bit more palatable. Mm-hmm. But, like, True Detective, I wouldn't miss that. Like, I would just fire up the laptop, throw in the headphones.
How good was season one,
consume
bro?
Consume it. Oh, it's great. I can even live with True Detective season two with Vince Vaughn and Rachel McAdams and I'm trying to think of the rest of the cast there. Was
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell?
Colin Farrell's in it.
He's in that. By the way, this going back to Movie Club, I know we can't get away from that in today's episode.
Hard to get away.
I'm sure that Danny has seen In Bruges.
In Bruges.
I mean, just such a great movie.
Easy the silliest Colin Farrell movie. Easily.
What do you think your showmates would think of In Bruges? I'm going to guess they wouldn't like it. I would guess at least two of the three that are in Movie Club would say In Bruges is not a quality product, and they would be incorrect.
I think, because here's the thing, is they surprise you every now and again. Like, I basically like punished Grant at one point, and I was like, dude, watch Fellowship of the Ring. And he came back and he was like, it's not terrible.
Right.
Right? I just assumed that he would automatically hate it. This basically is a quality movie, start to finish. You know, basically, job gone wrong. I mean, the story's not that complicated, right?
Right.
Hitman, job gone wrong, awaiting orders. It's just a survival story. It's tense. It's fast-paced. It kicks all kinds of ass. I think that they would like it. Hmm. I think that they would like it. But I might try to get it for Movie Club just to see what happens.
I think you should. And worst case, you get to watch In Bruges again. It's
I know,
a win-win for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right, don't forget, coming up at 2 o'clock, we'll be joined by Pete Haley from NBC Sports Washington. We'll talk some skins and more with him. That's coming up here on 106.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.